grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Recently, on one of my streaming subscriptions, I rediscovered the television show Coach from the 80s and 90s. It's a really good show, and I've enjoyed rewatching it. And while I've been rewatching it, I've been reminded a couple of times about something that I had actually forgotten. You know how sometimes a story is too big or too long for one episode, and so at the end of the first episode, they end the show with the words, "to be continued." And way back when I was younger in the 1900s, before streaming was even a thing, you had to wait a whole week, or sometimes all summer, for the next episode. And that next episode always started with like something like, "on the last episode of Coach," and then they give you a summary of what happened last time to catch you up to speed for part two. Well, the folks who put the Revised Common Lectionary together, which is a three-year cycle of scripture readings that we use every Sunday, it determines the scriptures that we use each day. In our gospel lesson for today, the story of Jesus going to the Nazareth synagogue, it's always on this Sunday in this year, every 3 years. And I don't know why, but they actually divided this story into two Sundays. The first part is this Sunday's gospel lesson. The second part I read was next Sunday's gospel lesson. They made this a two-parter. But I thought, since we're celebrating Candlemas next week, or the presentation of Jesus, let's combine them so we get the whole story today, because I didn't want to leave you hanging for 3 years to hear about part two, because then, if you're like me, I can't remember what I preach from 1 week to the next, let alone 3 years from now. So this story is not to be continued today. Jesus' public ministry in Luke begins in these verses, and these verses contain his very first words of his public ministry. He was a faithful Jew, and so every Sabbath he went to the synagogue. And we hear that he gets up, opens the scroll of the book of Isaiah, and intentionally finds the place he was looking for. Right? Jesus didn't have the Revised Common Lectionary telling him which verses to read. Jesus intentionally chose to read these verses in Isaiah. I think Jesus didn't want to lead anybody on or leave them in suspense. From the very beginning of his public ministry, Jesus tells them who he is and what his life and ministry will look like. In many ways, this is Jesus' mission statement. Now, if we were paying attention in Luke so far, this mission statement really shouldn't surprise us. We might avoid it or deny it or pretend it's not there, but it shouldn't surprise us, because there have been several previews and hints or clues about who Jesus will be and what about he will do. For example, just a few weeks ago, we read Mary's song, The Magnificat, in which she declares that God scatters the proud and God brings the powerful down from their thrones. God lifts up the lowly. God fills the hungry with good things. God sends the rich away empty. Mary's words, her song, remind us of who God has been and who God is and who God will be. Jesus didn't create his own mission statement or decide what kind of ministry plan or statement he would have. Jesus, the Word made flesh, both continues and fulfills the work that God has always been doing. Over and over and over again, we see in Scripture that God has always loved and cared for the outsiders and those on the margins, the poor and the hungry. Right, there are over 2,000 verses in Scripture that call us to care for the poor. Jesus isn't saying anything new here. What Jesus is doing is he is proclaiming the very heart of what his message and his ministry will be about. And it was actually going pretty well. Until he specified who the poor and the captives and the oppressed are. We see this crowd turn like on him in a dime. They didn't like what he was saying one little bit, and they became so enraged that they wanted to kill Jesus. Now, I can't remember my first sermon. I know it was my freshman year of college, and I'm sure it wasn't that good. Maybe it was okay for a first sermon, but I'm sure it wasn't that great. But it wasn't bad enough to ever get me killed. So maybe we can chalk it up to it wasn't such a bad first sermon after all. But Jesus' first sermon upset the people so much that they wanted to kill him. Right? Jesus told them something they didn't want to hear. And instead of listening with humility, instead of letting the gospel challenge them and hold them accountable, instead of letting the gospel convict them so that they might be more and more transformed into the likeness of God, they took offense at Jesus' words, and they became enraged to the point of wanting to kill him because Jesus' words revealed the ugliness of their hearts and the sin that was in them. Sneak peek for next week. We're going to hear the words of Simeon when he tells Mary that Jesus will be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. We're going to hear that next week, but we're seeing it lived out in today's gospel lesson. The people were angry with Jesus because he revealed the inner narratives that they told themselves and revealed to them the lies that they were. Jesus revealed to them how far away their hearts were from being like God's heart, because God's ways are not our ways. And Jesus was unwilling to go along with their way. Jesus was unwilling to change or to manipulate God's word to affirm the greed and the prejudice and the selfishness that they held tightly to in their hearts. Jesus refused to use God's word as a weapon to harm or exploit the poor, the oppressed, and the captives. And the people chose their response. They chose to kill him. Now, I know that the gospel can be hard to hear sometimes. But the truth is, it should be. It should be. The gospel isn't meant to give us warm fuzzies or to pat us on the back. The gospel is not meant to agree with our ways. The good news of Jesus Christ, it should challenge us, because the gospel shows us the truth of who God is, and who God wants us to be, and how God wants us to live. It shows us the truth about who we are as well, and the ways in which we aren't like Jesus, and the ways that we don't think or act or live like Jesus. In the waters of baptism, we are called to spend our lives growing more and more into the likeness of Jesus. the gospel often shows us the ways that we aren't like Jesus so that we can repent and do different and be different. Now, a little caveat here, because maybe you struggle with this like I do. We need to fight the temptation to think about how the gospel should convict others and not us. How many times when you've been listening to a sermon or reading scripture, have you thought about how that applies to somebody else so that you don't have to think about how it applies to yourself, right? It's easier to deflect than to humbly let God's word hold us accountable, right? It's a lot easier to recognize the greed or selfishness in someone else's heart than it is to recognize it and acknowledge it in our own. So, brothers and sisters, let the gospel challenge you. It's supposed to be difficult. If we're reading through scripture and something makes us bristly, if something makes us feel uncomfortable, if we get defensive or maybe even angry, that's what the gospel is supposed to do. And our response would hopefully be that we humbly sit with those uncomfortable or difficult feelings and figure out why they are difficult for us. Figure out why we're getting defensive. Why is this challenging me so much? So that we can name our sin, so that we can name our bias or our prejudice, so that we can ask for forgiveness and repent, so that we can do different and be different, so that the Holy Spirit and the gospel can transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus, which jump off of the page in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and love is kind, and it is not arrogant or rude or boastful, does not insist on its own way. When we grow into Jesus, that's what we are to grow more into. And that's how we are to live our lives. Jesus is very clear about who he is and what he is about in the world. And God gives each of us the choice of how to respond. When we hear God's word, and it's challenging and convicting, will we become enraged and act out on it, like the folks in the gospel lesson? Will we be indifferent? Or will we follow Jesus? God gives us the choice. Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.